Hello, I'm Tamsin Broster, and you've tuned in to the Undiet Your Menopause podcast. This is your go-to space for liberating yourself from diet culture, so you can stop shrinking to fit in and take back your power as you navigate your menopause journey. Welcome back to the Undiet Your Menopause podcast. I'm so pleased you've come back and joined me again. We are talking about a really exciting topic again today, one that just is on my mind this week. The reason it's on my mind is because so many people are struggling with body image right now, okay? Accepting increasing body size, increasing in dress size, through menopause and actually any time in our life is a real challenge for so many people. So I really wanted to dive into this topic again today and give you the support and the guidance and the help that you need to accept your body and be able to be in your body without restricting and trying hard to, you know, have a difficult relationship with food just to be in a smaller size. So if this is something you're really struggling with at the moment, then stick around because we are going to be diving into all of this today. And I really want to start with, you know, the language we have around accepting our bodies. There's so much noise out there about how we should be accepting of our bodies, how we should have much more love and kindness to ourselves and not be mean to ourselves. But how exactly do we even begin to do that when we have, our body has changed beyond recognition. We have maybe gone up a couple of dress sizes. We don't recognize ourselves and we feel really in this, stuck in this cycle of weight gain, wondering where it's going to end, wondering if we're ever going to have the body that we know and recognize back again, plus all the symptoms we've got going on, plus everything that we're handling in life generally. How do we actually get to a place of acceptance with all of that going on? We're stuck between the idea that maybe we should just really go for it, diet harder and just go hard or go home. Or do we just accept this is the new you? This is the new us. This is our new body. And this is what we're, you know, quote unquote, stuck with because it feels like we're stuck with it. And it feels like it's a really impossible situation, especially if you've had years and years of dieting and you know it doesn't work. You know that that's not going to actually help you. But what else do you do when you hate what you see in the mirror? How can you get to that place of saying, yeah, this is okay, I'm fine with this? It's so hard, and I want to break all of that down today. So we're going to get stuck into it. You know, I don't like to faff about. I love to just dive straight in. So we know that when we get to our later years, when we get to menopause, maybe, you know, if we're going through this in our 40s and beyond, a decline of estrogen levels and that loss of muscle mass can really impact us and impact our likelihood to gain weight and retain it in menopause. And you'll also hear other terms that I'm not going to dive into today, like high cortisol and stress levels. And all of those things are a factor. None of that is a myth, but there's also so much more to it. And I'll often see so many women saying that they have tried absolutely everything to shift this weight, and they're just at a loss of how to actually make it happen. And I know that, you know, I advocate for accepting your body at any size, and I will never, ever stop banging the drum for health at every size. I don't believe that size equates to health, but I do know that size most certainly does equate to how you are accepted in society and how likely you are to feel confident in that very fat-phobic society that we live in. Your fear of weight gain and your discomfort around accepting your body when it's two sizes bigger is absolutely valid. There is nothing I am disputing about that. It is not easy to just wake up in the morning and say, hey, yeah, this is okay. This is absolutely fine. I don't mind being two sizes bigger. I don't mind the fact that none of my clothes fit. Of course, that's not going to feel good because you have been conditioned to believe that the smaller you are, the better you are, and the better your health outcomes are going to be, and the better your life is going to be. You've got all of these promises coming from diet culture and the weight loss industry and also our medical system. It's constant. So you've probably gained weight in menopause, and it's likely you are feeling less than ecstatic about that. And you just wish it would disappear. And you want it to just disappear without having to go to extremes. But that seems really, really impossible. And here's the thing. It probably is impossible because your body size is determined by so many factors that are out of your control. Food and movement is such a small part of the body size equation, and this is the missing piece that diet culture doesn't want you to know. Because whilst you think it's possible to change your body and change your body size, you will continue to go back on that cycle. You will continue to buy into this idea that your body being smaller will give you everything you want. And what you probably haven't considered is how dieting and the repeat of going through these dieting efforts to try and make your body smaller could be the very reason your weight keeps going up year after year. Because as we know, 95% of us are going to gain that weight back and more after each dieting episode. Maybe you'll stick to it for 6 weeks, 6 months, a year even. But within 2 years, you're going to have regained that weight and more for 95% of us. And that other 5% aren't possibly, it's difficult to say, but are possibly in the category of genetically being able to sustain, suppress that weight and sustain that weight loss because genetically they're able to. Or maybe they are committed to being really, really strict forever. And we do not know what is happening in anybody's life. They might say this was easy. This is how I keep my weight down. And this is all I do and blah, blah, blah. Well, great. That's fine. But we, one, don't know that's true. And two, we're not in their body. We don't have their genetic makeup. We don't have the same hormone levels. None of us are exactly the same. No one experience is going to be exactly the same. And this is why I spend so much time when I'm working with clients to help them to stay in their own lane, to put the blinkers on almost of what other people are doing, because it can be really, really distracting and it makes us compare ourselves to others and it keeps us stuck in this cycle of thinking we are failing when we are not failing. We're just working with an entirely different set of tools, an entirely different environment. And this is why when you start trying to delve into different diets like fasting, Slimming World, Weight Watchers, etc., all the different things that you could be jumping on the bandwagon with and doing to try and make your body smaller, it might have absolutely no effect whatsoever. I saw somebody the other day was talking about the fact that she had been dieting since January and she'd been really, really trying to control her food intake, but had lost absolutely no weight. Because in menopause, our body isn't interested in losing weight. Everything changes, everything slows down. And also, if she has a history of dieting, which is highly likely, she's probably been dieting since she was young. Her body knows this pattern. Her body knows how to protect itself against that dieting pattern again, because it recognizes the behaviors that happen when we go into restriction mode. Whether you feel like that diet is restrictive or not on paper, your body knows that it's not going to get enough calories, and that is all your body is interested in, is getting enough sustenance to get through the day. And it wants a variety of foods, but if it's not getting what it needs, it's going to, push your body to maintain that weight and not actually change. Your body has no interest in losing weight. It doesn't benefit your body in any way to lose weight, and that's all your body is interested in. Your body does not care what size jeans you are or what size jeans you were. It's not interested at all. And the fact that weight doesn't come off leads so many of us to do more and more extreme things in this attempt to shift the needle on those scales. And believe me, I have been there. And I want you to consider how much of this really laser focus on trying to lose that weight and get back to whatever dress size you think is going to be the one waiting for you on the other side of that magic solution and that magic number. How much is it taking you away from not only pursuing real health that will make you feel good in your body, but also living your life and having a life where it's not revolving around how much your stomach sticks out or how small you are, how low that number is on the scale today. How much is it taking you away from having the life that you deserve? Because if you're really, really honest, what you get into is leading yourself away from health behaviors that maybe you start in the beginning, that when you start a diet, maybe you start eating more fruits and vegetables, and that's great, it makes you feel good. Maybe you get out and exercise a little bit more, and great, that makes you feel good. Those two things alone will make you feel good. If you start adding in vegetables, moving your body, it's great. It's amazing. So you feel good. But then what happens is we don't see the result that we're looking for on the scale, or it's minimal. And then we start thinking, right, how much further can I go? How much further can I get, you know, into this restriction cycle? So we start trimming off this, trimming off that, and cutting things out. And we lose the focus on what we're adding in and how that's making us feel. And it all becomes this laser focus on the scale. And how does that actually manifest itself? Our body starts to panic. It's like, whoa, okay, now this was feeling good, but now this is starting to feel really restrictive. Gotta put the brakes on. I'm gonna put the brakes on even harder. Or I'm gonna, you know, drive you towards eating more food when your willpower is down, or when you're tired, or when you're really feeling like emotional. I'm gonna actually, you know, drive you to eat that stuff. It's why so many of us struggle with late night eating, because it's at that point that our body's panicking, thinking, I need to get this stuff in, and I've got to get it from somewhere. And I think so much of that isn't talked about. We can only think about how good we feel in the beginning of a diet when we first lose that little bit of weight, because diets do work in the beginning. They do work when we first start them, but they don't work longer term, because our body is wise and it's really, really clever. So that's the first thing to maybe think about, like how far away from health behaviors are you actually going when you get into this diet and you're trying really hard to lose more weight when it's not coming off the way you'd hoped or the way you expect. And then the second thing is reminding yourself of the things you used to pick apart when you were smaller. I can think back to the body I had when I was 19, and I'd worked really, really hard to get to that body. You know, I'd be going to the gym, obviously I had no kids, no responsibilities, and yet I still felt like I wasn't small enough. And I had a massive hang up about my non-flat belly. My belly has never ever been flat, but it's so easy for my 44-year-old self to look back at that time now and think, oh, I would love to be there again, because I wouldn't have that hang up again. And that's what I think in my mind is, oh, I would treat that body, I would be so happy to have that body again. But the truth is, if I had that body, it just would never ever be enough. My hang ups would be exactly the same, and the things that I struggle in terms of body image and the things that I struggle with now are exactly the same thing that I struggled with when I was 19, when I was 25, when I was 32, pre-pregnancy, post-pregnancy, exactly the same body parts and exactly the same things come up time and time again. And I'm talking about that in the present tense, because body image struggles are not something in the past just because I do this for a living, just because I help other people. It's not something that doesn't come up for me just because I've done the work. It means that I've now got the tools to recognize what is going on and recognize that my body is not designed to be really small and really thin. When I'm taking really good care of my body, and what I mean by that is prioritizing sleep, prioritizing rest, prioritizing nutrition and food, and giving myself a range of stuff, that is meals that are satisfying, that work with my family, that work for my health, and focusing on my mental health and focusing on self-care and movement and enjoying that movement, all of the things, right? When I'm living my life to the best of my ability, my body is actually at its biggest. It's at its most stable in terms of fluctuating weight. It's at its most stable, but it is my biggest weight. And so much of that is likely because I dieted for 20 years solid without a break. You know, I consistently was on a diet or I was off the wagon and I was failing. There was no in between. I never ever stopped to consider what I was actually doing. Was I taking care of my health? Because the only measure of success I had in terms of health and success as a person, as a human being, was being as small as possible. So it was a really big surprise to me when I, you know, stopped dieting and started to explore intuitive eating, because I actually thought, my body's just going to fall into place here. It's going to naturally go back to that low weight. It's going to go back to a place where I was when I was younger, maybe before I'd started dieting. And I'll naturally fall back into that, because why wouldn't I if I'm not dieting anymore and I'm also not binging and all the rest of it? That is not the case. My body has no interest in moving the needle on my weight at all. It's just happy that I'm happy and that we are working together. It's got no interest in being smaller whatsoever. That's the part I have to accept. That's the part that you might be stuck on accepting. And that's what I really want to focus on today, is how do we get to that place where we are okay with whatever it is our body has decided to do? So instead of being stuck in the cycle of bounding between diet after diet, thinking it's going to change anything, because it won't. And I think deep down, you know all of that stuff. You know all the stuff I've just talked about. You know, weight set point theory is all about understanding that our body has a natural blueprint of where it wants to be. And the only thing that really interferes with that blueprint is, you know, outside factors like dieting. Dieting is a huge factor in our weight set point theory, and it has been proven to push it up, to push that weight set point higher, because our body wants to get to a place of safety. But often when we've been dieting for so long and our body isn't necessarily where we sort of feel we can accept it, it's so normalized to have our goals, you know, pointed towards being smaller, because it's normalized, it's celebrated in our society. And at least if we're not thin, it's about society rewards those who are playing the game and keeping on with that crusade of being smaller. To even consider dropping the rope on that tug of war with your body feels really rebellious, and it feels kind of unwavering, like you're on unsteady ground. It doesn't feel safe to do it. But being safe and pleasing others just to continue this constant battle with your body, because it's the very thing that everybody else does, is costing you your life and your happiness and your ability to just be free, especially in perimenopause. Now, I know that Susan down the road, she eats a certain way and she seems to stay slim, and she tells you that, you know, if you just eat like her and you'll succeed, but it's not true. You know, it's luck, it's genetics, it's a whole heap of unearned privilege of what other people are doing, and comparing yourself to someone who is seemingly, on the face of it, who has, you know, seems to have achieved what you are told should be your deepest desire, is distracting at best and harmful at worst. The only body you get to be in is the one that you have today. Looking at others and wanting theirs is a complete waste of time. And I know you can think back to those times when you were smaller, and you can look back at those smaller days, like I said before, pre-kids, pre-marriage, all of that stuff. Think about it. You can look back in hindsight all the ways that you would take care and love that body now. But actually getting to a place where you can show your body love and respect and reconnect with it as it is today will help you to focus on increasing those health behaviors that will undoubtedly benefit you in menopause right now, today, and make you feel good. So let's just assume that you are doing all the health behaviors that will help you feel good in your menopausal body. Maybe you are taking some vitamins, you are making sure your nutrition is on point, you're making sure that you're getting a wide range of fruits and vegetables and protein and fats and carbs, and you are really looking after your body, you are exercising regularly, you're prioritizing sleep, you're prioritizing rest. And at the end of all of that, your body is still two sizes bigger than you're used to, or two sizes bigger than you deem acceptable. Where do we go from here? How do we get to the point where we can say, this is okay because I know I'm taking care of my body? And the reason this often feels hard is because we have been told that the only acceptable outcome for our body is it getting smaller. We are never ever taught to celebrate taking care of ourselves if that results in a higher weight. Now, the path to acceptance, first of all, is doing all of those things. So putting yourself to the top of your list, really prioritizing that health, those health behaviors. And that can be similar things that you do. And like I said, when you're dieting, you start prioritizing movement and you start prioritizing nutrition. Great. You can still do all that by adding things in, not taking things away, adding things in, and making sure that you are giving your body everything it needs. And then the next thing we really need to think about is, how much are we comparing ourselves to others? What's that outside noise that we are listening to? What are we consuming? What are we tuning into? Are you watching all these Netflix series that are, you know, like the old kind of you are what you eat kind of vibe? That is going to be making you feel terrible, because all of those things are geared up to say, if you're doing all the right things, your body will be this size and it won't deviate from that. And that's simply not true. You could eat every single thing that Gwyneth Paltrow's eating, or anyone you're looking up to and anyone you're comparing yourself to, and your body would still not be the same. And whilst we're in that kind of zone of comparison, ask yourself, if you have the same resources that they do, time, money, access to things. Time is a huge factor when it comes to stuff like this. Most of us are running really busy households. We've got jobs, full-time jobs. We're at the height of our career. Why are we comparing ourselves to all of those things that other people are doing when they have so much privilege attached to it. And logically, we know that. We can look at these superstars in the media and their wellness advice that they come out with. They're not qualified to give you that. They're also not in the same position as the rest of us mere mortals that are trying to make it through the day. They are not coming from the same place that you are. And I think it's really, really important to understand that. And when we get to comparison, again, it's like, are you comparing yourself to an older version of yourself, a younger version of yourself, someone who doesn't have the lifestyle that you have now? What is it about bodies that we believe that they shouldn't change? We accept other parts of our body. We accept that our shoe size is the size that it is. And we accept that our height doesn't really change unless you're like me and you're kind of shrinking a little bit as you get older. But we accept those things without shaming ourselves and without believing that we are somehow failing. But when it comes to our bodies are actually not designed to stay the same weight all of our lives. Some people do. And most of those people, when you actually talk to them, have actually never dieted. So dieting is a really big factor in how much our bodies will change. But women in particular are actually designed to change and grow. And, you know, our bodies will shift and change. I can look at my own family and my own parents and how their bodies have changed over the years, not necessarily through dieting, but actually through age and illness and all of the different hormonal changes that they go through and transitions that they go through. And that's okay. You know, you might be married to somebody who, or have someone in your family whose body seems to never change. I think we just have to get out of this idea that what's happening with someone else is the right thing for us. We are completely different to any other person on this planet. No two people are exactly the same. At all. We're all going to be going through menopause differently, life differently. We are absorbing different things in our environment. We have different access to stuff. It's just the list is endless about the amount of differences between us and one other person. And I think we really need to give ourselves a break and practice that compassion and kindness. And when it comes to like compassion and kindness, how we're talking to ourselves really matters. If your inner critic is constantly berating you and constantly saying that you are failing because your body hasn't stayed a certain size, because it dared to change, because it dared to have an outcome that wasn't what society celebrates, we need to look at that. We need to have a think about how we're speaking to ourselves. Because shame is not a motivator. And what I see so often with the women who I work with is that we are in this position where we know logically that we can be taking better care of ourselves and that we could be feeling good. But because we're focusing on the number, we almost get into this position of doing nothing and not looking after our health at all, because we kind of get into that sodic kind of mode where it's like, well, you know, nothing I do works, so therefore I'm not going to do anything at all. I'm not going to move my body because it doesn't shift the needle on the scale enough, or I'm not going to worry about prioritizing food and nutrition and eating in a really good way for my menopause, in a way that will really benefit me in terms of, you know, our body and length of life and all the rest of it, and vitality in life and enjoyment, because it won't move the needle on the scale enough. You know, I've tried everything, there's no point. And we prioritize every single other person around us, and we just have this real kind of push-pull with ourselves, where it's just like so many women I speak to say to me, I know what I should be doing. But what should you be doing? Why can't you do whatever it is that feels good, whether or not that is something that you think you should be doing? There is way too much wellness advice out there that is nonsense, and it's distracting at best. It is such nonsense. It's teaching you to be so all or nothing, so black and white, that you end up just not taking any action towards your health because you're so focused on being smaller. You know, and we have to think about like the role that clothes play in this. And I really want to do a whole episode on clothing, but I do want to get into it right here, because this is what we're talking about. You're putting on those jeans, they're triggering, you know, they don't do up the way they used to. And that is sending you into a head spin of how can I eat as little as possible? What can I do to get out of this weight gain cycle? And actually all we need to do is really focus on clothes that make you feel good, clothes that fit your body well. Whatever size you are at, your body deserves clothing. There's a bigger discussion about the fact that plus size clothing is not widely available. Quite often we're having to shop online. That is sucks. It really does suck. Okay. But that doesn't mean that your body doesn't deserve to be clothed. There is not a size that you should be. And quite often the clothing stores that we shop in send us this message that we are not in the quote unquote right size because they don't carry that size in store. So that's going to send that message to you that you are not the norm, that you are somebody who's being punished for your size because you now have to shop online, which costs time and money and effort because usually we order the stuff, we don't always like the stuff, we have to send it back, but we have to, the outlay of paying for it in the first place, which really it's wrong and it sucks so much. But, your body deserves to be in clothing that makes you feel good and you can access all the time. Because when you're wearing clothes, you're constantly putting on those jeans that are too small for you. It's going to be sending your brain the message that you are failing. You're not getting this right. You're doing something wrong. You're outside, you know, you're going outside of the okay zone. You're going outside of the thing that is acceptable, especially if you have clothing which you consider to be your big clothing or your larger clothing. We use those terms when we're talking about ourselves in terms of bigness and being large as if it's some sort of failing, and it isn't. But we use those terms like, I can't fit into what I call my big jeans, therefore I have gone way too far to the right of what is okay. And that's not true. You just need clothes that fit your body, that don't dig or pinch in, because that will be so triggering and that will send you back into the arms of dieting, or worse, and I do think this is worse, is being stuck between the not wanting to be dieting, but also not actually taking care of what makes you feel good and having the foods and the movement and everything else and prioritizing yourself, because you're stuck in this limbo. Like, you know the diets don't work, but you're stuck in this limbo between wanting to intuitively eat but being frightened to because you don't believe that it's gonna help you get thin. And that kind of no man's land is, it's hideous. I've been there. I did exactly the same thing because I still had this thought that my body needed to be smaller. But we can practice all of those health behaviors. We can look after ourselves in ways that feel so good to us if we just put down the rope, if we just stop this fight with our body. And I promise you, it will start to feel good. It will start to shift. And when you get out of bed with a zing in your step because you are well rested, because you are not over consuming alcohol, because you are not feeling like you have to eat and binge eat at nighttime because your body's not getting what it needs during the day, and you're prioritizing really good, satisfying meals, and you're doing movement that you enjoy and you're excited to do regularly, not just when you're on it, you will just notice that difference. You will absolutely notice that difference. So I hope that's given you something to think about if you are in that mode or in that place where you are really beating yourself up and not feeling confident in your body. You do not owe the world a thin, perfect BMI, which we know is rubbish, it's absolute BS. You do not owe the world a certain size of body to be accepted. It's really about how you can work with yourself to accept yourself in a way that goes beyond affirmations of just love your body. Like, it's hard. Understand what is driving your mindset into thinking that your body is failing just because it's gained some weight, and ask yourself whether, you know, how much dieting is contributing to that and how much that outcome is because of the fact that you have been trying so hard your whole entire life just to be a little bit smaller. I really hope this episode has helped you see that your body is not failing. You are absolutely in the right place, and it's just about taking baby steps towards really taking care of yourself. Your body is incredible, and menopause is the perimenopause. Menopause is that time of our life where we can really connect with our body again, where we can really start taking care of it. And I know that you just want to feel good in your body. You want to wake up and feel good. You can do all of those things without diet culture noise. And that's exactly how I help people in my MenoThrive program, when I take people through 7 weeks of just feeling amazing, getting on top of your symptoms, but without the diet culture noise, without the food plans and the, you know, body shaming, none of that. We're going to ditch that at the same time as working on our menopause symptoms. And there are two ways you can do this. You can either work with me one-to-one or you can join my group program, both of which you can do by clicking the link in the show notes that will give you a chance to have a chat with me and we can just have a casual coffee. We can chat about how I might be able to help you and just see which is the right fit for you. Because some people prefer that one-to-one work and some people prefer the support of a group, and that's absolutely fine, whatever your preference is. Next week, we will be back with another episode of Undiet Your Menopause podcast, and we will be diving into another topic to help you get out of diet culture and really feel good in your menopause years. So do join me again. I will see you next time. In the meantime, do follow, subscribe, leave a review, and come find me on Instagram. Let's hang out, let's chat, and I will see you there. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Undiet Your Menopause podcast. Join me next week for another chat about menopause, breaking free from food rules, body shame, and society's expectations. And if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to rate and review. It takes less than a minute, but it truly helps the algorithm gods find more people who need this podcast in their life. If you want to make sure you never miss an episode, then follow or subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. I'd love to stay connected to each and every one of you. And as a little thank you from me to you, I've put a link in the show notes that will give you access to my free unapologetic guide to undieting your life. It's packed full of ways you can have a better relationship with food, get started with intuitive eating, and love and accept your body exactly as it is without shrinking. You can follow me on Instagram, LinkedIn, or find out more about how to work with me on my website, www.tamsinbroster.co.uk. Everything you need is in the show notes. I will see you next time on the Undiet Your Menopause podcast.